Well, I think you can probably see on your message guide tonight, we're going to be continuing our series on God's moral law, which of course is known as the Ten Commandments. So we're going to turn back in our Bibles to that fourth commandment, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And we read this about the Sabbath. And we've been looking at the Sabbath here the last couple of Sundays. But beginning verse 8 of Exodus 20, we read through verse 11, where the Lord says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." If you remember last Sunday night, we looked at four different views about the Sabbath and whether or not the law about the Sabbath applies to everyone as it does for all the other commandments, all the other nine commandments. And even though there might be some disagreement as to its relevance, especially since the time of Christ to his people, to the church, there is almost universal agreement that the Sabbath day, which is and always has been Saturday, is no longer binding on the conscience of the church. There's a few exceptions, but as a rule, most churches, most Christians, believe that it's not binding. And so perhaps the best way to look at the fourth commandment is that there are ceremonial elements in it that have already been fulfilled by and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus himself said in Matthew 12:8, he is the Lord even of the Sabbath day, so he can make whatever changes he wants. He can do whatever he wants on the Sabbath day. But yet there are also still moral elements in this commandment that all of God's people should follow, not out of legality, but out of love for the Lord and his will. So the ceremonial elements of the fourth commandment, as we saw last Sunday, include both the day, which is the seventh day, as well as the rigid duty that applied to the Jewish nation in a special way. And of course, if you remember from Ezekiel 20 last Sunday, it was a sign, a special sign, between the Jewish nation and the Lord. And so he said, you need to remember the Sabbath day, the seventh day, that Saturday, to keep it holy, because that is something that shows and identifies you as the people of God. And so along with that day came that rigid duty, and the rigid duty of not working and making sure no one else around you works at all. And you couldn't pick up sticks, you couldn't light fires, you couldn't do a lot of things on that Sabbath day. But since the Sabbath day, along with those strict duties, were, according to Hebrews 10:1, a shadow of good things to come, like all of the other ceremonies that we find in the Old Testament, when Jesus came, he offered an eternal spiritual rest to those who believe in him. And at that time, the strict ceremonial aspects of this fourth commandment were done away with. And so we do not keep the Sabbath day, because we do not recognize it as being all moral. There is the ceremonial aspect that Jesus did away with. But there are moral elements of the fourth commandment, and that's why I think we wanted to start at the very beginning by looking at God as a God of rest. Because rest identifies to us who God is and what God is like. And so the moral elements of this commandment remain and includes a day, as well as a restful delight that is just a foretaste of the rest that is to come for believers in Christ, a rest in paradise and heaven itself that'll last forever. This day is to be a day of rest that follows the pattern of God's day of rest after he created the world in 6 days. And I think that's why we see here when the covenant is established, it points back to when creation was established. Because this rest of God is a moral element of this law. So one day in seven ought to be reserved as a day of rest for all people, but especially for God's people. One day out of seven for physical and mental and especially spiritual rest and refreshment. Of course, most Christians follow the pattern established by the apostles in the early church, and use the first day of the week, which is Sunday, that's today, as the primary day of rest and worship and fellowship. And of course, very early on, even in the book of Revelation, by the Apostle John, it became known as the Lord's Day. And I think that is a good way to refer to Sunday. It is to be the Lord's Day for the people of God. But that day is still meant to be a day of rest and refreshment for the whole man. Rest and refreshment for your body, for your mind, and for your spirit. And we see this because Jesus himself taught in Mark 2:27. I kind of stumbled it last week, but it says this: the Sabbath was made for man. Remember that. And not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. God wanted man to rest physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And yet, how many Christians remember to use the Lord's Day, or really any day of their week for that matter, in the special way that the Lord intended? 1 out of 7, reserved for Him, reserved for rest, reserved for fellowship, reserved for worship. How many Christians really believe that? How many Christians really follow this moral principle from the fourth commandment? Well, it is on this account that we can see this commandment, like all of the others, is profitable also for reproof. Remember, we're using 2 Timothy 3:16 as sort of the lens to look through and at these Ten Commandments. And it is profitable for doctrine. We saw that about God. But it is also profitable for reproof. There are some elements, moral elements of this law that ought to reprove us for not resting and not using the day that God has designed for us to use. It reveals how Christians have neglected the moral elements of this law to their own detriment. I think as believers, sometimes we experience that too, don't we? There are Christians that say, well, I'm not growing. Well, are they remembering the Sabbath rest? I'm not really having solutions to my problems. Well, are you remembering the Sabbath rest? We need to remember the Sabbath rest. If not the day, the rest that the Lord has established for His people and the divine rest that it represents. So tonight we're going to look at three ways that we often fail to remember the Sabbath. First of all, we forget the Sabbath when we are overwhelmed with work. With work. Are you a workaholic? I almost said alcoholic. Thank goodness you're not that. Are you a workaholic? Or do you know someone who is? I'm not, okay? But there are some people who this is an issue for, where they just can't seem to rest. They just got to go, go, go. They got to work, work, work. But one of the moral truths that we can glean from the fourth commandment is that even though God created man to work, and He did not create man to work all the time. All the time. And that's why in Exodus 20, verses 9 and 10, which we read earlier, the Lord said, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. You see, work and labor was actually not a part of the curse that God brought upon this world when God created Adam. In fact, we're told in Genesis 2:15 that when the Lord God took the man, He put him into the Garden of Eden to work, to dress the garden, to keep the garden. So Adam was the first gardener, and some of you enjoy gardening. You can look back to him as the first gardener. And gardening is work. That's why I don't have a garden. Gardening is a lot of work. So God created Adam to work. Later on in Genesis 2:19, God even gave him the responsibility to name the animals as well. And that would have been work. And work is a good thing. Work is a noble thing. It wasn't until after Adam and Eve sinned that their work became toil. The kind of work that we're more familiar with. In Genesis 3:19, God said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Shalt thou work till thou return into the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. So ever since the beginning of time, 6,000 years ago, God gave you 6 days in which to work and to meet all of the physical and financial and material needs of yourself and your family and others. But do you know that God also gave you another day? One day in seven. One day each week in which to rest and recharge and rejuvenate for the rest of that week. Do you know that the week is also the only unit of time that we do not have reference to the sun or the moon or the stars? How do we know that a week is 7 days? Well, it's because God established that on that week of creation. So this kind of Sabbath rest, having one day in seven to rest, recharge, refresh, was actually encouraged by the Lord when he was on earth. In Mark chapter 6, in fact, why don't you go there with me in the New Testament, Mark chapter 6, we find a period of time in the life of Jesus and his disciples when they were weary. They were weary. In fact, they were definitely physically exhausted because they had just returned from going all throughout the land of Israel, two by two. Remember, Jesus sent them two by two to share the gospel. And if you look at verses 12 and 13 of Mark 6, it says, they went out and they preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Now, if you knew that someone could heal your sickness, what would you do? You would go there. If you knew someone that was sick, you'd take them with you. And imagine how long those hours were, how hard that work must have been. They were weary from their work. The disciples were also emotionally exhausted because during that same time, we're not going to take the time to read it, they heard that their good friend John the Baptist had been arrested and imprisoned and unjustly executed, decapitated by Herod the Great simply because he didn't want to say no to his wife. He didn't want to say no to his wife's daughter. And perhaps these disciples wondered who would be next. Is it going to be me? Is it going to be you? So physical exhaustion, emotional exhaustion, they were also spiritually exhausted. They could probably say what the Apostle Paul would later say to describe his service to the Corinthian church, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. So the disciples of Jesus were spent here in Mark chapter 6. They were spent. And what did Jesus say to them? Look down to verses 30 and 31, same chapter. Says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And Jesus said unto them, of course, he knows how exhausted they are, physical, emotional, spiritual. And he says to them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. Rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So Jesus himself promotes rest for his people. Jesus himself does not say you have to work and burn the candle at both ends. You don't have to work 7 days a week. Reserve some time for rest. Come apart and rest a while, he says. And so the truth is, when you are overwhelmed with work, as some people are, you will become restless. And you will not remember the Sabbath rest that God not only intended for you, but provided for you. In fact, that special day that you can reserve for worship of God and fellowship with God's people will kind of get in the way. Because I've got work to do, I've got things to do. Instead of remembering the Sabbath rest that God actually provided for you as a benefit, as a blessing. But when you use the Lord's Day, which is what Christians have now done for 2,000 years as a day to cease from the ordinary work and labor of the week. We're not saying that you can't do any work. It's just you shouldn't do the same work. Sometimes you need to do something that will recharge yourself. Recharge yourself physically and mentally and spiritually. You've got to eat, right? You've got to do things sometimes around the house. But it's important that you still maintain a spirit of rest, so that you can experience a taste of the eternal Sabbath rest that is yet to come. Remember last Sunday we looked how the Sabbath is sort of a already principle, but also a not yet principle. Christians find their rest in Christ, yes, but we will find that eternal rest yet to come in heaven itself. So when you are overwhelmed with work, remember the Sabbath. Remember the taste of the Sabbath rest that is offered to you by God. But then second, we also forget the Sabbath when we are overwhelmed with worry. That's another way that we are restless, isn't it? When we are overwhelmed with worry. Are you a worrier? Not too many workaholics, but perhaps there's a lot of worriers. According to one source, an average person's anxiety is focused on 40% of things that will never happen, 30% of things that about the past that can't be changed, 12% of things about criticism by others, mostly untrue, and then 10% about health, which only gets worse when you have stress, right? But people worry only 8% about real problems that they will face, and so worry really doesn't help. So why do we worry? We worry because we fear, don't we? We worry because we fear and because we, even as Christians, doubt. And what are some things that we doubt? Well, we often doubt God's care about our circumstances. We sang the song earlier, does Jesus care? Does Jesus care? And perhaps that's something that goes through your mind from time to time, and it causes you to worry. Sometimes we sing that God cares for us, but when we worry, it's because we don't believe it, and we become restless. Other times, we doubt God's control over our circumstances, and perhaps people are wondering that this week, with everything that's been going on. You know, we have personal needs. We see the needs in society and in public, and we wonder, and sometimes we even worry about them, and in doing so, we become restless in our hearts. We worry. Still other times, we doubt God's comprehension about our circumstances. Not only does God care, not only is God in control, but does God even know what we're going through? Is God just up there and leaving things to go as the deists would have believed? And so we remain restless and listless in our very souls. And you know, the Apostle Paul addressed this kind of worried and restless spirit when he wrote in Philippians 4, and these might have been some of the verses that you read earlier, verses 6 and 7, verses that you probably have memorized, when he says, be careful. Now, that word careful means anxious. It means restless. It means to be worried. Don't be worried. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And you know what's going to happen? You read the next verse. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you are overwhelmed with worry, you will be restless. When you are overwhelmed with worry, you will be restless, and you will not remember the Sabbath rest that God not only intended for you, but provided for you. Have you ever woken up on a Sunday worried? Worried about, does God care? Is God in control? Does God comprehend my circumstances? Now, even though we shouldn't worry on any day, yet the Lord's Day especially is a good day for God's people to remember and rest in the facts about God and our circumstances. I think one of the reasons why we worry so often is because we do not expose ourselves to the truth about God in His Word, about His control, His care, and His comprehension of all of our circumstances. And unfortunately, a lot of churches have taken away services. And, you know, not having services for the last 2 months or whatever has been a struggle for us. We need more of God's Word. We need more of God's preaching. We need more of God's changing us and challenging us through His Word, because that's what will give us peace when we are worried. Are you worried about God's care? Remember and rest in these words from Jesus in Luke 12, 6 through 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? My wife put up a bird feeder in front, and our hope was to see some finches, because we like the finches. They're pretty. They got red colors and yellow colors, and there might be some others. I think there's an orange finch. I don't know. But then we get these other birds that are like the big black and brown birds. We don't like those so much. But every once in a while, you see a sparrow. And they're little tiny things, right? And they chirp a lot. But he says, they're like a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. But not a single one of them is forgotten before God. Not a single sparrow. the song, his eye is on the sparrow. But, he goes on, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Are you worried about God's care? Don't be. Why? Because God's eye is on you. He knows every hair on your head. What about God's control? You're worried about that? Well, remember and then rest in, even as David did in Psalm 31:25, that your times are in God's hands. So you don't have to worry about God's control. Your time, my time, everybody's time is in God's hand. Brother DeFord's time was in God's hands. It wasn't COVID that killed him. It was God that brought him home. And so we can be thankful for this. Are you worried about God's comprehension and knowledge about your situation? Then, as Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:31, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Those are all worries. For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth, he comprehends, that you have need of all these things. So when you are overwhelmed with worry, remember the trust that the Sabbath rest teaches you about the care, the control, and the comprehension of the Lord. You know what we ought to do on the Lord's Day? We ought to get up and we ought just to put away and put aside the worries as best we can and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to trust that you're going to give me a word today. I'm going to trust that you're going to show me again that you care for me, that you're in control of my circumstances and the circumstances all around the world, and that you comprehend and you're going to do something today. You're going to do something in my heart, in my life, and in my church. That's what remembering the Sabbath entails. It's taking away the worry and put it in trust. Trust in the Lord. But then third, again, all too often we forget the Sabbath again when we are overwhelmed with wandering. Wandering. You know, life is very distracting, isn't it? It's easy to get distracted by the things and the cares and the problems in life. It's hard to keep the main things the main things. And isn't that what we find in the life of Mary and Martha? In fact, go over to Luke chapter 10 with me. Luke chapter 10, where we find the Lord Jesus taking a deliberate journey to meet up with his friends, Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And of course, they were all siblings. And he used this trip to teach them and us an important lesson that, you know, we can just skip right down to verse 42, Luke 10. That one thing is what? Needful. One thing is needful. You know, a lot of good things happened when Jesus arrived there to visit his friends, but there was only one thing that Jesus said was absolutely necessary, absolutely needful at that point in time. Because when Jesus came, there was, in verse 38, an enthusiastic welcome. An enthusiastic welcome when a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now, we don't know for sure. It could have been a surprise visit. She didn't know he was coming. It could have been an anticipated visit. But either way, Martha, who loved the Lord, readily received him into her house, it says, with open arms. And what a wonderful invitation that was. What a wonderful welcome. It would have been a pleasing welcome. Imagine the joy that it must have brought Martha to know that Jesus was coming to see her and her family and was actually going into her house. It would have been a proper welcome. It was only fitting and proper for Martha to welcome Jesus, the Christ, in the best possible way. It would have been a very practical welcome. I mean, Martha here is a very practical person, right? After his arrival, she sought to serve him and make sure everything was right where it should be. Making sure had a place for Jesus to sleep, making sure Jesus had something to eat, perhaps trying to figure out all of the details for his trip. She wanted to meet any of all of the practical needs that Jesus would have. And of course, Martha would have been the most polite hostess that you would have ever met. Martha was the perfect hostess. An enthusiastic welcome. But was this what was really needed? Was this truly needed? But then we also see another good thing when Jesus came. There was energetic service. Energetic service from Martha. Look at verse 40. It says Martha was cumbered about with much serving. So Martha's busy here. Martha's busy. Martha actually became distracted though, didn't she? Even Martha became upset with her sister If you continue on in the verse, that when she came to Jesus and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." You see, at that point, Martha thought that her service was most important. But in reality, she was distracted from what was most important. That's what the word cumbered means. She was distracted. At that point, Martha thought she was caring for her Lord's needs, but in reality, she was focused on her own interests. And that's why it says she was careful and anxious and worried. Martha thought that she was putting things in order, but in reality, she was troubled. And she was restless, wasn't she? She wasn't experiencing the Sabbath, the rest of Jesus being there in her own house. And so that is why then Jesus pointed out that eager listening to him and his word was the most important thing at that time, even as Mary, in verse 39, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So what does Jesus do? He commends Mary and says in verse 42, "One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." It is so easy to be distracted from the most needful things in life by other things, trivial things, but sometimes even good things. You know, it's good to do things with your family. It's good to watch a game and just kind of experience some rest that way. It's good to do some of these things. And that's why perhaps the Lord's Day is the best day for God's people to reprioritize their life in the light of God and His rest. Again, one day in seven. What an opportunity for us to use that day. The day that has been what the church has used for 2,000 years to reprioritize. Not with rigid duty, but with the restful delight that God intended for the Sabbath to originally be. So when you are overwhelmed with wandering and being distracted by the cares of this world, take time, especially on the Lord's Day, to remember the truth about the Sabbath rest and what it teaches about what is most needful in your life. So what should we use this day for? It's a day to be refreshed. It's a day to rest, not just physically, not just mentally, but most importantly, spiritually, even as Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And of course, He's speaking in context of worry. So we find here again what the Sabbath really was for. It's to teach us about rest. So do you remember the Sabbath rest that was created by God and provided to you? Not the Sabbath day and its rigid duties that was followed in the Old Testament and ultimately fulfilled by Jesus Christ, the ceremonial aspects, but the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest and its restful delight, which is offered to you in the Lord Jesus Christ, who again said these famous words in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So for now, the Lord's Day really is the best day to set aside in each week that is possible to come apart and rest a while, to come apart and rest from your work. And we need to do that. We need to rest from our work. Remember, that's what God did. And that showed that He was complete and content with it. And even though we may not be completed, even though we may not be content with the work that we've done, yet what we're doing when we rest is we're saying, it's in God's hands. It shows faith and trust in Him. Rest from worry. Rest from worry. Worry is another thing that takes away from this Sabbath rest. And then rest from wandering and distraction from the most needful thing in our lives as believers, and find your refreshment in the place and in the times of public worship of the Lord and in fellowship with His people. This is how we ought to use and remember the Sabbath. Are you restless? Are you working too hard? Are you wandering away from the Lord? Are you worried? And find your trust and rest in Him. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You again for the rest, the Sabbath, that the Lord Jesus came to offer us, to give us by faith in Him alone. And Father, I know that there are times where we are not resting in You, in resting in our Savior. Because, Lord, we do work sometimes too much and we do not rest from that work. We worry way too much and we do not rest from that worry. We do not trust You. We wander away from You and we do not rest by finding our satisfaction in You. We're distracted so easily. And so, Father, I pray that You will use this commandment to reprove us tonight, to help us to see how we can use that one day, even today, Lord, in a better way, to be able to experience the rest that we so desperately need as creatures, but also the rest that You graciously provided as the Creator. A rest for our bodies, a rest for our minds, a rest for our spirits, and a rest, Lord, for our very souls. And of course, we find it especially in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that today we will remember the Sabbath rest. And that, Lord, You will use that rest to give us a greater desire to enter into that final rest where we will be at home with You forever. No more work, no more worry, no more wandering forever and ever and ever. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.